Coming up on KUCB News, King Cove strikes a deal for a road to Cold Bay and reaction to the Trump administration's decision to open almost all Alaska waters to offshore drilling. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, January 8th, 2018. The city of King Cove says it's reached a deal with the Trump administration to build a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. King Cove residents argue they need the road to access the all-weather airport in Cold Bay, but environmental groups believe it would ruin critical wildlife habitat. Now, City Administrator Gary Hennig says they've reached an agreement with the Interior Department for a land swap between the King Cove Corporation and the federal government. He expects the deal to be signed January 22nd in Washington, D.C.
The whole community is excited simply because after 30 years, we do believe that this can now happen.
King Cove residents say they need the road because bad weather can leave people stranded during medical emergencies. But the 12-mile gravel road would pass through what is now designated wilderness, the highest level of conservation given to federal lands. Environmental groups like Defenders of Wildlife say they will challenge the agreement in court. In a press release, President Jamie Rappaport-Clark says, quote, "We will not stand by while some of the world's most vital wildlife habitat is ripped from public ownership to satisfy commercial interests." In 2013, former Interior Secretary Sally Jewell rejected the idea of the road, saying it would cause irreparable harm to the refuge and the wildlife that depend on it. But Hennig isn't worried about legal battles with environmental groups.
We have known that that is going to be there. It's always been there. We are comfortable in believing that once it's known what the agreement has in it, we are very confident that we will prevail.
The Interior Department didn't respond to a request for comment. Once the deal is signed, Hennig believes it will take up to 6 months to study the best route for the road and appraise the land. Then Hennig says King Cove will be looking to the state of Alaska to fund construction of the road, estimated at $22 million. In a best-case scenario, he says the road would be completed by 2020. Unalaska's Department of Motor Vehicles is closed until the end of February. In the meantime, many DMV services, including driver's license and vehicle registration renewals, can be completed online. When the DMV reopens on February 19th, there will be reduced hours and services. The office will offer services for driver's license and ID card application and renewal, as well as vehicle registrations and Class D driving tests. The DMV will not offer motorcycle or commercial driver's license tests. The Department of Public Safety expects to post new hours and days of operation for the DMV next month. For years, the debate over offshore drilling in Alaska has focused on the Arctic, but last week the Trump administration proposed opening almost all Alaska waters to oil and gas leasing, from southeast to the Bering Strait to the Canadian border. That includes areas that have never seen drilling. Rachel Waldholz from Alaska's Energy Desk reports on the reaction from Alaska's coastal communities.
Ask Linda Benkin of Sitka how she feels about the proposal.
I probably better not say that on tape.
Benkin heads up the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She worries that an oil spill anywhere in the Gulf of Alaska or the Bering Sea could put fish stocks all over the state at risk.
It's really deeply disturbing to see the willingness to place at risk up and down our coasts, the renewable resources that are the cornerstone of the economy and people's way of life.
That's a feeling echoed by Mark Vinsel. He runs the United Fishermen of Alaska, which represents the state's commercial fisheries. Vinsel says he's glad the Trump administration excluded the North Aleutian Basin planning area, which borders Bristol Bay. But he says fishermen haven't forgotten the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill. And if more waters are opened up to oil and gas development, there needs to be a lot of community oversight. He says the message is pretty simple.
You need to be careful up here, whatever you're doing. This is really, really dangerous waters. Fishermen know that, and everybody in the Arctic Rim knows that.
In Unalaska, Mayor Frank Kelty was taken by surprise when he heard the Trump administration was proposing to open waters surrounding the Aleutians and Pribilofs. Kelty says he's not opposed to oil and gas development, but Unalaska depends on fishing, and any oil and gas drilling would have to be done right.
I think there's going to be a lot of pushback from not just the enviro community, but from coastal communities such as mine and other fishery-dependent communities across the country.
Across the country, because the Trump administration is also proposing to open waters up and down the east and west coasts, from Maine to Florida and Washington to California. The proposal also came as a surprise in Nome. Austin Amasek works for Kowarik, which represents tribes across the Bering Strait region. He says local communities have made it very clear where they stand. They've opposed oil and gas development in their waters for decades.
You know, there are areas where our people have hunted and commercially fished for quite a long time. It's where we make our living, so we're you know, quite concerned about the aggressive nature of this draft proposed program.
The Trump administration has stressed that this is just a draft. The Interior Department could remove some areas from the final plan, depending on feedback from communities. The proposal will be open for public comment for the next 2 months. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Anchorage.
Now that the Trump administration removed a key roadblock, Pebble is chugging through the bureaucratic process needed to get approval to build its mine. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said Friday that Pebble Limited Partnership's permit application is complete. It's a highly technical document with details on what the controversial mine in southwest Alaska could look like. But opponents remain unconvinced. Elizabeth Harbaugh from Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
In October, Pebble Limited Partnership released some details on how it plans to build a copper and gold mine near Iliamna. Then, the company claimed it was making a series of adjustments to make the mine safer. It promised a smaller mine than the company originally set out to build, for example. The application the Army Corps of Engineers released gives a fuller picture of Pebble's plans. It's also a pivotal step. Now, the federal environmental review process can begin. That will help agencies decide whether they should approve the mine. Mike Heatwall is a spokesman for the Pebble Limited Partnership.
This is the first big bite of the apple, if you will, and it's pretty exciting just to at least have some details out there that people can now start to take a look at and say, this is how the Pebble team proposes to design and operate a responsible plan for developing the mineral resources at Pebble.
The application includes maps of the open pit mine and the tailings storage facility. It shows roads the company wants to build to access the mine. The plan calls for a port on the west shore of Cook Inlet, an ice-breaking ferry across Lake Iliamna, and a natural gas pipeline from the Kenai Peninsula to help power the whole operation. Many details could be adjusted as Pebble continues its work with the government agencies that could approve the project. According to Pebble, the mine itself will have a footprint of nearly 11 square miles. The application states that over a period of 2 decades, the company aims to mine 1.2 billion tons of material. So far, none of the fine print is changing the minds of activists fighting the mine.
The short time we've had to review kind of the highlights of this permit application, it confirms every concern we have had for over the last decade.
That's Alana Hurley with United Tribes of Bristol Bay, one of the mine's most outspoken opponents. Hurley pushes back at Pebble's message that they're building a smaller mine than originally planned. She points out the application shows over 3,000 acres of wetlands and waters that must be filled in to build the mine site. But opponents' main message is that they're worried this plan is just a beginning.
I think this is a classic bait and switch.
Tim Bristol is executive director for Salmon State, another group against the project. Bristol is against the mine as it's proposed now, but he also says there's nothing stopping anyone from pursuing a bigger mine at a later date. But Bristol's worried this plan could get a green light from government agencies, especially under the Trump administration.
They're trying as hard as they can to get this thing into permitting now, and I don't think anyone can doubt the fact that it's going to be a much more permissive permitting process during this administration than during the last one.
Under the Obama administration, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed putting restrictions on the mine. But after President Donald Trump took office, EPA reached a settlement with Pebble, and the company began moving forward again. Pebble says if the company wanted to expand the mine in the future, they'd have to roll out a new proposal and get new approvals. Heatwall calls the immediate negative response to the permit application unfortunate.
To say unequivocally that that the mine presents risks that can't be managed is, I think, premature and prejudicial.
Pebble also recently announced it secured a new partner, the Canadian company First Quantum Minerals. That partnership will help fund the permitting process, although the companies haven't yet reached a final deal on funding the actual project. As the environmental review process moves forward, the Army Corps says it will hold a series of public meetings. The agency says final approval could take several years. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.